Okay, sorry about that. Thanks for your patience. So today our facilitator is Becky Monson. She is currently writing her fourth book, and she, of her previous books, she's self-published some as well as done traditional publishing as well. She works with an agent, and she's currently being courted by 4 of the 6 big publishers in the U.S. and 2 of the big 4 in the U.K., which is exciting. Congratulations on that. All three of her currently published books have been Amazon bestsellers for the last 2 years, and she's sold more than 50,000 books in her time writing. So we're really grateful that she is going to facilitate our call today. And also, just to reinforce, it's a discussion. So Becky has a lot of experience, but so do other people on the call. And we'd love to hear from all of you. Becky has a lot of great information to share, but really feel comfortable interjecting, providing your input, your experiences, ask questions. And that's really the goal of it, to be as beneficial for you as possible. So hopefully you will feel comfortable asking and sharing, making contributions. So with that, we'll turn it over to Becky to get our discussion started.
Hello, everyone. I'm excited to be here. I've never done this before, so at least not on the phone, so this will be fun. Just a little bit about myself. I never wanted to be a writer. I just kind of fell into it. It's not one of those things that I dreamt about as a kid and always wanted to do. I always wrote, and English was definitely my favorite subject. But I just always wanted to try it, and so I did. And actually, it took me 8 years to write my first book. So that's because I would stop and have a child and, you know, be up all night with that kid and then jump back into it, reread what I wrote, decide it was total garbage, start back over again. So it was kind of a long process, but and I'm really just kind of not a person that likes to I didn't think I'd ever finish it because I didn't really want to I'm not really kind of a person who'd like query and look for agents, and it just seemed like too much work, and I didn't know if it was good enough. And then I really didn't finish it until a friend of mine started self-publishing, and she started making a lot of money. And so I thought, well, I could do that, because then I don't have to try so hard to query. I don't have to find an agent. And so that's what I did. She's a multimillionaire self-publishing. So I learned a lot of my stuff from her, which I've got to share with you guys. Before I start, though, so what kind of questions things are you hoping to get from this? Like, what are you all trying, you know, here to learn about?
Well, I have a specific thing. I am traditionally published, but I was thinking about self-publishing to try and drive readership to my traditionally published books, because I don't feel like I have a lot of responsibility over marketing for my traditionally published book, but not a lot of control over how the books are sold and when. So I thought if I had a self-published book that I could use to help promote the books that are out through the traditional publisher, that might help drive sales.
Okay, gotcha. Anybody else? I'm just writing these down, so I got to make sure I get them. Anybody else have any specifics? I'm just going to go over, I've made an outline, and so as I go along, if you have a question, just interject and we can discuss it. So the first thing I wanted to talk about was talking about self-publishing versus traditional publishing, the pros and cons of each that I have found. So you probably, I know some of you are traditionally published and some of you are self-published, so if you have any other ones you want to interject, feel free. So the pros of self-publishing that I found are you are your own boss, and I'm a little type A in that area. So it's fabulous for me because I don't like people telling me what to do. So I enjoy being my own boss. You're in control of everything. You're in control of your editing, your cover, your content, your marketing. those are all under your control. And so you can make sure they get it, get, if you're savvy and you're good with it, you can make sure that it gets to the right people. Another fabulous pro, and probably my most, one of the most important to me, is the money is yours. So except for having to pay Amazon's fees and stuff like that, you make the bulk of the money. You also get paid once a month, traditionally published. Now, I am, I do have publishing companies, but they're foreign rights. There's one in Turkey. I'm working on one in Japan. Somebody in Germany is interested right now. That's, so I'm not traditionally published in the sense that I don't have any, I don't have a traditional publisher here in the U.S., but my publisher in Turkey, I get paid once a quarter. I think that's what it is. And I still haven't gotten my advance. The book has been out since November. So anyway, I do like that you get paid on a monthly basis. The other thing that I, the pro about self-publishing is it, the publishing is quick. You can have your book out in the market within a couple months of having it done. It can be out there for people to read. And the other thing about self-publishing is that if you sell enough, you do get the attention of the mainstream publishers, and you kind of call the shots if you get signed by a publisher that sees that you're selling, which is pretty cool. So you can decide, you can
You say that one of the things that's cool is you get what by a publisher, traditional publisher?
If you do get picked up by a publisher, so say you sell enough that a publisher sees you, now you get to call the shots instead of the other way around, because you're the one they're seeking out instead of vice versa. Does that make sense?
Yes. Thank you.
They want you, so they're willing to put up with some of your demands, whereas the other way, where you really want to be signed with them, you have to put up with their demands. Cons. Anybody have anything to add or thoughts?
Becky, this is Jennifer. I was going to say, I was picked up by a publisher, and after I had some success, and that it is really nice because I ended up being able to keep my digital rights, and it just gave them my print rights, which it would have been the opposite way had they come, had I gone seeking them and not the other way around. So it's,
there's definitely
advantages to self-publishing first. So.
Right, and Jennifer and I have talked about this before too. It's kind of like a, it's like a, you know, when she goes and talks to her publisher, she's like, they're like, well, we want to do this and this, and he's like, go for it. Like, she doesn't have really any, it's kind of like best of both worlds. Sounds great, you know. I don't care either way. It's kind of, it's just, you call the shots. It's really nice. Let's see. Cons of self-publishing. You are your own boss. That's also a con. I'll tell you why. Because there are no deadlines, and unless you are a self-driven person, which I am not, it's very easy to procrastinate. It's very easy to lose sight of, you know, what you need to get done. When you have an editor kind of pushing you behind you, you do tend to, I would think, you would stay, you know, close to getting your deadlines done and things like that. So it is kind of tough to be your own boss if you're not a self-driven person. So I'm kind of a mixture. It just depends on the time. And I'm also a mom, so, you know, I have lots of interruptions. You have to do all your marketing. So if you aren't marketing savvy at all, it's hard, especially with a typical personality of a writer is an introvert. I'm not. I'm more of an extrovert. But typically, most marketing people are introverts, and so we're not one to be running around handing our business cards and shoving our books in people's faces because it's just not part of who we are. And so that is hard for marketing because, from a marketing standpoint, because, you know, you have to sell yourself to really market. We are, as self-published, you are teeny, teeny, tiny fish in a huge pond. So getting your name out there can be really hard. Let's see. You take all the risk when you self-publish. That's a con. Any money you spend, if you don't make it back, that's your risk. If you're signed with a publisher, it's their risk. Sometimes the publisher will throw the risk back on you. So you have to be very careful about your contracts. But in the most part, if it's the publisher, they take all the risk. So the money is on you. Now, you don't spend – I will tell you guys how much I spend usually per book. It's not a ridiculous amount. And there's no signing bonus, obviously. You don't get any signing bonus. You're just, so you're kind of using your own money to invest in it. Another con is finding a decent editor, cover artist, content editor, proofreaders. It can be difficult. I made a lot of mistakes with my first book and learned a lot of lessons. But so I did a lot of dumb things with that. My cover was good, but I did not have a good editor. My content, I think, was fine, but I didn't have a good proofreader. So those are things that I had to learn on my way. But that, you can find people out there that are fabulous. There really are a lot of good editors and people out there, but that is, it's a little harder to do when you're not with a publisher. Anybody have anything else to add for the con?
I have a question.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering, when you're looking for these like editors or cover artists, are you looking to self-publish just digitally or also physically?
I publish physically and digitally because
okay.
my friend Melody, who's the millionaire that does really well, she says her rule of thumb and her thing is to have a foot in all doors. So with self-publishing, she has a set of books. She's written like 25 books. So she has a set of books, and all of her books are in print. She's a hybrid publisher, so she's also been picked up by Simon & Schuster. She also works with Amazon's print company, which I cannot think of the name right now. But she has her own. She's in stores. Like, she's kind of hyped. So she's kind of got a foot in every door, which I think is actually a really good rule of thumb. But, yes, I do print and I do ebooks, but my biggest sales all come from ebooks, not print, by far. Let's see. Okay, so anybody else? Any other questions? Okay. So for traditional publishing, here at the pros, there's no money. There's usually no money out of pocket for you. If there is, that's probably a little bit of a red flag. FYI. Sometimes these boutique publishers will do that. And honestly, if they're going to make you pay anything up front, you can do all that on your own. You don't need to give anybody your money. you have the ability to get into a wider market. These publishers have been doing this for a while. They know how to market you. They know how to get you out there. You can get your books into stores. Although I will give you a side note, if you do have great marketing skills, you can actually still get your own books self-published into bookstores. I do have friends that are self-published that have their books in Barnes & Noble nationwide, and they did not go through a publisher, and I can tell you guys how to do that. You have more opportunities with traditional publishing because you're a bigger fish in the pond instead of a teeny tiny one like self-publishers. And most of the time you get an advance on your future royalties. So it can be quite lucrative if you get with a good company. I've seen people sign pretty lucrative deals with six-figure deals with traditional publishers. For cons for traditional publishing, you do not have control over your editing or your cover. Now, going back to my friend Melody, who's done very well, she did her own books first, I think the first 10, and Simon & Schuster took her, signed her for a 3-book deal, and she literally cried over her covers. They were terrible. She hated them, and they would not budge. They would not change them. They would not make them different. They would not take any of her input. And she's like, I have a brand. My name is my brand. I have a logo. They wouldn't put anything on there. I've had friends that have left publishing because their editor added swear words into their books. An acquaintance of mine, she's LDS. Her publisher was adding swear words and a sex scene into her book. And she finally left. She walked away because she had no control over the content of her own book. And now she self-publishes and she does really well. Let's see. Go ahead. Hello? Okay, sorry.
And did I hear what you said? You said she left because of the swear words and so, well, I'll just go on. I don't know what it was. That's all right.
No, she left.
I just missed about half of this, and I don't know what it is.
Oh,
I did redial and
sorry.
That's okay.
Okay. Totally got it. I was just saying
Can I just, real quick, this is Susie. If
if there is a bad connection, you might want to try calling back in. But also, since the call is being recorded, we will post it and give it to everybody so that you can listen to it again later. So if you miss anything, there is another chance to get all of it. So just keep that in mind.
Thank you so much. That makes a difference. I will keep still. Okay.
No worries. Okay. Let's see what else for pros of – oh, no, cons. Sorry, we're in cons. Some of the cons of traditional publishing, depending on who you sign with, you will do as much marketing for a traditionally published company as you will a self-publishing. You will have to still do your social media. You'll still have to get there out there and meet readers. You'll still have to do all the things you would have done for self-publishing, yet your traditionally published company is taking half or more of the money that you make. Your share of the money is, in some cases, extremely little. You may sell more books. You may have more readers and you may end up selling more books, but you might only end up making the same or less as you would self-publishing just because they take so much. For example, on an ebook, on average, I make about $2 for self-publishing. My Turkish publishers that bought my rights, I make 8 cents a book. After they get their payout, after they pay the person who translated it, after they pay, I make 8 cents a book. So obviously I'm not planning on making any money with that, but it is also I'm getting my name out there, you know, and I think it's a good, it's kind of fun. It's kind of fun to see your book in a different language, but it definitely wasn't for money that I did that. Also, traditional publishers, depending on the contract you get in with, nowadays they're a little bit more flexible. It used to be they own the rights to your books, so you never got them back. I have one lady that I met, she'd written 50 books with Harlequin. Or Harlequin, I don't know how to say it. And they won't let her have her rights back. She's in the process now of basically, and I don't even know if it's legal. I'm sure she checked the loop with lawyers, but she's right now in the process of basically plagiarizing her own self. So she's rewriting the books with different character names and different situations so that she can self-publish all these books because they won't give her the rights and they won't print them. So they're just stuck in these, files in their offices and she can't do anything about it. So anyway, sometimes that can be kind of, Nowadays, as the marketing, in my opinion, publishing as a whole, and I think we've all seen this, is changing. I think they actually are looking for self-published authors that are doing well and snatching them up. I'm sure you guys have all heard of, 50 Shades of Grey. She was self-published. There's a bunch of movies coming out recently in the next few months that were – does somebody have a question? Okay. There's a bunch of movies coming out. I just saw an article about it that they were self-published books that were snatched up by publishers. So that's kind of, I think, the way things are going to start going is you got to kind of – it's going to be more like the music industry. You got to, prove yourself first, and then you'll get picked up. So those are some of the cons. Anybody have any other pros and cons of traditional publishing? Okay, so I wanted to talk about self-publishing and the marketing aspect of it, how you can market. Because, like I said, we tend to be introverts, and so it is kind of hard. The fabulous part about nowadays is social media, so you don't have to talk to people. You can be anybody you want behind a computer, which is great for introverts because, we don't actually have to get in people's faces, which is nice. That is that's your best friend right now is social media. So I'm getting better at it, but I wasn't very good at social media. I have a friend that's an author. She's written 46 books. She's hybrid, so she's been picked up by, I believe, Simon & Schuster, but she also self-publishes. And she's only been doing this for 6 years, so 46 books in 6 years. It's kind of crazy. But she makes a lot of money, obviously. But she works 12 hours a day. She works 6 hours writing, and then she works 6 hours marketing. So it's good to that's a good rule. I'm not saying that you should do that, but you do need to remember that in self-publishing, you have to spend a lot of time. And actually, in any kind of publishing situation, you do need to devote at least a couple hours a day to your marketing, whether that's writing a blog post for your blog or just interacting with people on Facebook and Twitter. And, you know, Instagram is kind of a big up-and-coming one right now. I only use three. I use Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. I barely use Twitter. Twitter for me has become more of like a meet up with other authors. I feel like readers aren't really on there, and you have such a short amount of time for people to actually see and see the stuff you posted that it's just, it's hard to go viral on Twitter anymore these days. It used to be pretty good. I knew when I used to spend a lot of time when I first started writing, just even spending an hour or so on Twitter, I would see an uptick in my sales. So it used to work, but it doesn't work as well now. Instagram is kind of the newer one for me, and that one goes pretty well just because you can use hashtags, and hashtags will draw in other people who are looking for a similar hashtag. You're going to be very hashtag savvy on that one. Facebook is still one of my biggest one. I have my fan page, and I interact with my fans on there. I do a lot of giveaways. I do a lot of cross promotions with other authors. I just like to put on jokes and stuff and, you know, just kind of keep myself going there. Right now I'm kind of in the writing cave, so I haven't really been posting because I'm trying to get this next book done. Another one for social media is groups on Facebook. They can be really good for getting involved with other writers and sometimes getting involved with other readers. I've noticed the readers groups are inundated with constant, like, read my book, look at my book, check out my book. So I don't know how well that's really working, but that I really enjoy the author groups. If you're not part of author groups on Facebook, that's such a great, especially if you can find a really good one. I don't know if any of you guys are on Clean Indie Reads. Leah London had that one up. She's LBS. She's out of Oregon. And so it's all books that are clean, but they're, you know, small publishers or self-published. And it's a really great group to be in. They have lots of information, and they're very supportive, which is fabulous. I think it's so great. As far as authors go, we can really be supportive of each other because it's not really a competition. There's plenty of room for all of us in this world, and people love to read. And so, you know. Anyway, I'm sure you guys have all heard of BookBub. Has everybody heard of BookBub?
Yes.
That's like the king of all marketing avenues that you can get into. Even big publishers get their books into BookBub now. If you haven't heard of BookBub, it's a way to get your book in front of millions of readers. And honestly, that is my claim to my success. BookBub definitely got me where I am today. And I'll say this, a lot of people shy away from doing free books. Do not do that, because if BookBub offers you an ad for a free book to give your book away for free, you always take it. You will see, I actually gave away my book for free with no follow-up book. My first book I gave away for free with no follow-up. I only had one book out. And Melody told me to do BookBub, and so I was like, all right. So I tried to get a paid one, and it wouldn't take me because I was too new, so I did a free. And it changed my life in my sales immediately. And that was just with one book. So don't shy away from free. I always tell people, I'm like, when you write books, it's your business. And every business out there that ever opened gave away something for cheap or for free to get their name out there, to get their book off the ground. So,
Becky, I know a little bit about BookBub, but could you explain it a little bit more, like what exactly makes it the secret sauce?
So BookBub is one of the first ones that ever got out there that started getting reader subscribers that they could – what they do is they do categories for their books. It's actually a really brilliant way that they did it. Because if you sign up, you see a lot of these other ones out there, it's just kind of a hodgepodge of books. BookBub, you sign up for your specific category that you like. So, for instance, I enjoy women's fiction. I enjoy contemporary romance, and I enjoy Chicklet. And so I sign up for those, and every day they will send me free or cheap books in the genre that I like. And if you get on there and look, excuse me, under, I think under women's fiction, which is where I did my first thing with them, I think they have over 2 million subscribers. So you're literally getting your face and your book in front of 2 million people. You can't do that anywhere else unless you were on national television. It's just, so it's just the best way to get your name out there. And that really is the key. You're not looking to make money off book club, although I will tell you, you will almost always make your money back. I have yet to meet somebody who hasn't made their money back. But you're not really looking to make money on book club. You are looking to get your name out there. That's the most important thing about traditional or self-publishing, is getting your name out there, because people don't see it. People don't hear your name. They're not going to buy your book. I mean, it's just, and the truth, we learned this in marketing. I studied marketing in college, but you have to get your name out there between 7 to 10 times, your name or the name of your book, before somebody will actually buy it. They have to see it on average, between 7 to 10 times before they'll buy it. So the more you're pushing yourself and getting yourself out there, the more people are seeing your book, your name, anyway, so it's, it is really the queen or king of all marketing avenues.
Okay. Hey, I have a question.
Yeah.
So is book club, is that like a website? Like what is that?
Yeah. It's book club. Okay. It's kind of a weird name. Book, B-U-B, like B as in boy, B-U-B as in boy. And it's .com. So you sign up at the very bottom, it'll say partner with us. And there's a thing that you can click on for authors. They do a lot of great work with authors. You can have your own page with them, and you have people who will subscribe to your list on BookBub, and they will send out an email like Jennifer Peele just did. She just had a BookBub this week, and I got an email from BookBub saying Jennifer Peele's got a book on sale because I'm a fan on her page. They do a lot of great stuff for authors on there. So, yeah, BookBub.com.
Okay, thank you.
And don't be discouraged when you don't get into them, because I've had way more rejections from them than I've gotten in 3 times, but I've probably been rejected from them like 20 times. They don't accept what is there right now, Becky? Is it like less than 20% of people they'll accept?
Yeah, it's really. And when you aren't getting accepted, like say a particular book gets rejected constantly, they're very picky about their covers, very picky. So that might be something you've got to look at. And I have redone covers for other people because I also do covers. I've redone people's covers for other people because they kept getting rejected. Like I have a friend, Catherine Beale, that had tried this book over and over again. I finally redid her cover. She got accepted the next time. So sometimes it has to do with your cover. Sometimes it has to do with how many reviews you have. They also are picky about how many reviews you have. It depends on the genre you're in. But it's always the book cover. If you get rejected immediately from BookBub, take a look at your book cover. Make sure that it's catchy. They're very particular about that. And it's totally okay. That is one of the, I should have said that, the pros of self-publishing, is you can change whatever you want. Like, I've had people who have sent me a note that said, you have a typo here, you know. I'll go and change it and re-upload my book. I can do that anytime I want to. If you're traditionally published, you can't do that. It's done. So that is kind of the nice thing. So you can change your cover anytime you want. One of my friend's books has Melody. Okay, Melody, I keep going back to her, but she is crazy successful. She has one cover, if you look on Goodreads, it has like 12 different covers. She just kept changing it until she liked it. So that's kind of the nice thing. Other marketing avenues that have worked for me in the past are ENT, which is E-Reader News Today. I'll say that recently it hasn't been as good as it used to be. I think these are getting super saturated. Even BookBub isn't as fabulous as it used to be. It's still by far the best one to be on. But I got in back in the day when they were kind of new, and so – it was amazing, but now it's still really amazing, but it's just not quite as. And it also depends on the book, and it depends on the genre you get in. And the other one is Pixel of Ink. that one, for a while, a long while, they wouldn't take paid advertising. It was just if they liked your book, they would advertise it. And I got in with them a couple of times, and that was pretty cool. But now you can pay to get in. I can't say, though, I think people who have tried the paid hasn't been that great. It was really good for a while. Like I said,
they're really they're pricey.
Yeah, so they're really pricey for their, like, BookBub's pricey, but it's worth it. ENT isn't that pricey, so it's kind of worth it too. But Pixel of Ink is pretty expensive. And I don't think worth it at this time. Let's see. Other things for marketing for self-publishing. Your website. You need a website. And you can do some pretty cool things with blogs these days. My friend Catherine, my friend Penny Reed, who's quite successful, her blog is basically, it's a WordPress blog, and she's just turned it into a website. You can buy things on it, and she has all these links, and she can do a lot with blogs these days. I actually have a website, that my husband built, and, I have a tickle, I am terrible about updating. But anyway, the website, you've got to have a website. And with self-publishing, my biggest advice that I could possibly give is you want to make yourself look the least self-published as possible. So be high class about everything. Have great covers. Have a great website. Get lots of opinions. If you're worried you don't know any about this stuff, then get lots of opinions. People love to give their opinions, even when you don't ask for it sometimes. So get lots of opinions about your website, and you want to have a look at other authors. That was one thing I did when we were building my website, is I'd look at other authors' websites, and I'd see what I liked and what I didn't like, and I kind of made a combo of, all the things I liked on my page. I wanted bright and kind of fluffy, because I write chick lit, so that's kind of, follows along with the genre. That is my biggest piece of advice, is to look the least self-published. You all have seen, I'm sure, self-published covers where you're like, oh my gosh. And I do judge a book by its cover. I hate to say it, but I do. And so I'm sure you've all seen books out there, they'll have those blogs like the worst book covers ever. And you're like, oh my gosh, how do these people think? This is amazing. So you got to get a lot of opinions. Don't just take your own. Don't take your family's. Get some opinions about things from people. And that's why those writers groups are fabulous on Facebook, because they're totally great about giving opinions. You may throw up a cover you thought was amazing, and they'll be like, well, if you move this, this, and this, and then you do what they say, and it's like, oh, my gosh, I had no idea it could be this amazing. A blog. Blogs are important, and I am horrible at writing blogs. But I'll tell you why the most important thing about a blog, traditionally or self-published, they're important, because you have no idea if the next blog post you write is going to go viral. And if it goes viral, that is huge. You will make tons of money off of a viral post, because they will see that. They'll be like, this girl's hilarious. I'm going to buy her book. Just every blog post, always put your book links at the bottom in case it does go viral. I'm going to work on that. That was my New Year's resolution. We're what, mid-February? I got nothing, so I got to get going on it. So definitely do a blog and do look at other people's blogs. See what they're writing about. There's tons of if you type in, blog prompts for writers, there's one that has, 600 blog prompts, and you can just go through there and see what, tickled your fancy that day and write about it. Once a week is probably a good rule of thumb on that.
Only blogs that I've seen have so many rude and awful things on them, even if the subject wouldn't suggest that. And I'm wondering, what do you do if you start a blog spot and have things that are awful?
Right. Well, here's the deal with that. For those of you, I've been doing this for, 3 years now. That is one of the biggest things about being an author, is you got to get thick skin. People are just rude on the internet, and I don't understand. They would never say it to your face, but for some reason behind a screen, they feel like they can just say whatever the heck they want to say. And it's really plain amazing. Sometimes we make fun of, Jennifer Peele and I, we're good friends, we'll make fun of our, that's how we kind of get through our bad reviews, is we make fun of them together. But it's just amazing what people will say. So there are things you can do with your blog. You are in control of your blog, which is great. You can delete the posts you don't like. You can delete them. The problem is learning to deal with them, that you don't let it fester and sit in your head and think about it constantly, because we all do that. You know, we've all been there. We've had, like, bad feedback or a bad review, but to just let it fester. I'll tell you this, it's taken me a long time, but I now can just kind of blow it off. But that is one of the biggest things to get across. And you will find that in traditional and self-publishing. That is the beast of being an author. Everybody has a stupid opinion all the time. But yes, the blog, you can control the comments, which is nice. Facebook, you can control your comments on your fan page. I have yet to get a bad thing on my fan page, except somebody was, like, upset that they didn't win one of my prizes. And I was like, I'm sorry, you know, the fates are against me. I don't know what to say. That you can control, which is kind of nice. But yes, you're putting yourself out there. That's the big thing. You put yourself out there, and you're going to have to expect that you will get junk back, because apparently people have so much time on their hands. I don't know. I don't know about you guys, but I have no time on my hands to sit around and say mean things to people. It's just not – I wouldn't do that anyway. But another marketing avenue that has worked well for me is Facebook ads. I have one going on a constant basis. I probably pay out, because I only do about a $2 per day average, but so I pay a little bit over $60 a month for my ads. But if you have a catchy picture, and I actually have a website that somebody has, not a website, a link, I can send it to you, Susie, if you want to post it, about that basically walks you step by step through Facebook ads. But I'll tell you, they're kind of a beast. But she explains why they work, and she shows you how to do them. It's fabulous. So I can send that to you if you want to send it along. I also do Google ads. My husband is very savvy in online marketing, and so we do Google AdWords. We sponsor words. That drives people to my website. And that's also something unless you know about, you might have to hire out. But there's tons of companies out there that can help you with that kind of stuff. And at first, you know, especially in the beginning, you don't really need that. That's kind of a little bit more when you get further into it, where you're really trying to broaden your audience and your name. Another huge one is newsletters. And I went into this kicking and screaming, because I don't personally care for newsletters. I have authors that I've signed up for, and I love and adore, and I still don't open the newsletter. And so, I don't know. There's one author that I do open. Obviously, my really good friends all open their newsletters, but typically, I didn't. So everybody kept saying, "I do newsletter." Well, I'll tell you firsthand, they do make a difference. I just finally started doing them I think I started in October. And it does make a difference. I don't have a ton of subscribers right now. I have over 1,000 in my newsletter. There are people out there that have Brandon Sanderson. Is that his name?
He's yeah. Up, right? Oh yeah. Yeah.
I think it's him. I think he has like 80,000 subscribers for his newsletter, and it's him or somebody. Anyway, I'm pretty sure it's him. So when he releases a book, even if half of those people buy it, or even a quarter, he will hit a New York Times bestseller guaranteed every time. Now, I mean, he's been out for a while, so he's probably hit it anyway, but his newsletter alone will get him to that. So newsletters can be huge. And they don't have to be, you don't want to have them too wordy. You want to have them pretty simple. Just, you know, telling people what you're doing. If you want to sign up for mine and see what mine looks like, I don't send them out, you know, every month like a lot of authors do, especially because, you know, I just have too much going on, but I send them out, you know, when I have something coming up, like a book, or I send them out probably every other month, I guess I do. I keep them pretty simple, not a lot of words, it's kind of fun. Another thing you can do for marketing is giveaways. People love giveaways. They love free stuff. Jennifer Peele and I just did a really fun Christmas giveaway. We did the 12 days of Christmas where we worked together, and it was super fun. People loved it. We both gained a bunch of new readers and new followers. and it was really fun. And so people, but that is a really good way to get your name out there. You can do, when your book first comes out, you can do a giveaway on Goodreads. And if you're traditionally published, your publisher would do this too. But you just put your book out there and you'll get people, all they do is they, this type of Goodreads giveaways, it's pretty easy to do, but all they do is they just go in and like your book. So what happens is when they like your book or add it to their to-read pile, the friends that they have will see that they added your book, and then they'll add it. So I get, like, my first book, when it first comes out, the first week I'll have, like, 1,500 people who already have me in their to-read pile. But does it mean I'm going to sell all to all people? Probably not. Maybe not even a third. But even if I got 15, 20 people from that, it makes it totally worth it.
You have to have a physical book though for the Goodreads giveaway.
Yes.
Can you do ebooks? It's physical.
No, they are adding an ebook feature this year, but as of right now, it has to be a physical book. Sorry, I forgot to say that. That is true. And usually they like it to be signed. If you put signed on there, you'll get way more people. I did mine, and then I saw it on eBay like 2 weeks later. I was like, I've arrived. Somebody's selling my book on eBay. The other way you can do is a giveaway through Amazon. I've yet to do this. I've heard it goes pretty well. Kind of cool with Amazon, you give your book away. They do everything for you. So you say, pick a winner, and Amazon does it all. Except you can't do signed books on there. But you can also give away prizes. So you could have people, so you're just going to give away something random that goes with your book or something. Like my first book is about 32 going on spinster, and she does a lot of baking. So I could give away some kind of bakeware that, you know, goes along with my book. And Amazon does the whole thing. It's a good way to generate people seeing you. Remember, 7 to 10 times getting your name out there, so people seeing your face or seeing your name, seeing your book's name. That one's doing pretty good. Also, Amazon has a feature where they can follow you. I don't know if you all have heard of that, but they can follow you on your page, and they do the same kind of thing as BookBub. So if you have a new release, they'll send an email to all your fans. And so that's a good way to get more people on there. And then I do a lot of giveaways, I think I told you, through Facebook, so on my fan page. I love my fans. I like to give back to them because, obviously, they've helped me get to where I am. And so I always love to do giveaways. And plus, you know, when you do giveaways, you say, tag a friend or share this post, and all of a sudden you've got, like, 60 new fans because people love giveaways, like I said. And you don't know how many out of those people are going to end up buying a book. So the more ways you can get your name out there, the better.
Well, how do you get involved in getting with the giveaway program with Amazon? How would you get them to do that?
You do it all yourself. So you just sign up. You know, and
it's on your author page.
I apologize. Yeah, I
have
to.
It's on the author page, Becky.
Okay, good to know. It's on your author page.
Okay.
I've yet to even do the ones on Amazon. I need to do that. I haven't tried it yet, so I can't even tell you the success. I do know I've had a good success rate with Goodreads and through Facebook. Amazon, I haven't heard. And I've heard mixed reviews on it, but I still want to try it for myself. Another marketing avenue is cross-promoting with other authors, and I've mentioned that. Jennifer Peel and I have very similar fan base. People that like her book typically will like mine and vice versa. And so we are good. A good way to cross-promote. Make sure when you're cross-promoting with other authors that you do pick people that are similar fans, because if you write super clean and you cross-promote with somebody who writes smut, some of their fans might like your stuff, you know, because maybe they need a break between reading their smut. I don't know. But in general, they'd be like, you know, it's two polar opposites. So try to find when you're cross-promoting with other authors, try to find authors who write similar to you, similar genre. You know, people who read science fiction aren't really going to care about contemporary romance. You know, definitely men and women. You probably want to stick with another woman who writes similar. Although I do cross-promote with another author that's a man that writes romantic comedy, and he's hilarious, and that's been good. So you can find, you know, some different niches that you can cross-promote with. But you do want to stick with at least close to similar. Really, the biggest thing, too, for self-publishing is reviews sell books. And you'll hear different opinions of that, but that is the absolute truth, in my opinion. Reviews.
What
sell
is
books.
The truth?
The more, reviews sell books. So the more reviews you can get for your book, the better. And if you can come out of the gate with a bunch of reviews, you're even that much ahead of the game, because that will put you into Amazon's algorithm, and they will start spitting your name out all over their website. So blog ways to get reviews, I don't know. These are the ones that have worked for me. Blog tours, those are kind of fun too, because it's like doing a book tour but online. If you haven't done a blog tour, that's really important for marketing, but that's a great way to get reviews. There's also a lot of these read for review sites. Be careful of the ones you get in. You don't want to find one that guarantees you like 4 and 5 stars. Those are not allowed through Amazon, and you will get flagged. It's totally okay to pay for a legit review. So if you pay a company to find you reviewers who have readers that have signed up, that's the bonus for them is they get free books. And the only thing they have to do is leave a review. But it has to be an honest review. And you'll see that. I'm sure you've all seen that in reviews. I was given this book for an honest review, you know, whatever, by the publisher or by the author, whatever. So those are good. Read for review sites. Also, having advanced review copies before your book even comes out. I'm working on growing my list of advanced readers. That's a really good way to get reviews for your book out of the gate. So Amazon loves to see that. They love to see a book released with reviews. Kind of hard to do, but you can usually rally up your family. Although, I don't know about the rest of you, but once you start writing books, all of a sudden your family's like, you know, in the corner whistling. Like, they don't really care as much as you thought they would. So those are really good avenues to get some get reviews, besides just talking to people, you know, getting yourself out on social media. And I've had people, though, who've gone on Goodreads, and because for some reason people like to give good, you know, more reviews on Goodreads than they do on Amazon. Like, for example, on Goodreads for one of my books, on Amazon I had like 430 reviews for one book. On Goodreads I have like 2,000. So I don't know what the deal is. I think maybe because you just don't have to press stars on that. You don't always have to leave words like you do with Amazon.
One suggestion that I'd heard was if you get a good review somewhere, whether it's on Goodreads or if you have someone, like I get personal fan mail, but then people don't put their reviews on my site. So just to reply back to the fan mail and say, could you copy and paste this to this link here on Amazon and like make it as easy as possible for them?
Yes, make it as easy as, that's what I was just going to say. I've had people go on Goodreads and just leave it like, thank you so much for this review. Would you mind putting it on Amazon? I've been told never poke the bear. Like, don't, good or bad reviews, don't ever comment. So I've never done that, but that's pretty savvy if you're willing to do that. And I wouldn't see why they'd be mad if it was a good review, but you never know. Somebody might find that offensive, like, how dare you, and then take the review off, or I don't know. People are weird, like I said, on the internet. They just feel like they can say and do whatever they want. But, yeah, I've seen people do that. And I have done that when I've gotten, like, a personal note from somebody. I'll be like, oh, my gosh, I love this. Could you do me a huge favor and leave this, put this on Amazon? That would be awesome, that kind of stuff. So, yeah. So does anybody have any questions, anything they want to add? No, we're almost out of time.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Sorry. This might even be a dumb question. So sorry. But
there are no dumb questions.
So, all right. So I was just wondering, like, so when you're publishing, like, a physical book, like, who do you get to actually, like, print off the pages and bind it?
Oh, okay. That's a good question, actually. The company that I use is called CreateSpace, and they're owned by Amazon, so it's really convenient, because all you do is put it on CreateSpace. Now, you have to be careful because you are doing it yourself, so you're buying, you know, the cover and the insides all have to be to their specs. But there are plenty of companies out there that will do it for pretty cheap. Like, you can have your book formatted for, like, $25 online. And then the cover specs have to be to their – that's kind of the harder one, and they're super-duper picky about that one. But I do covers, so I've worked with them before. They will – you just have to – you can find a cover artist. If you use a cover artist, they know how to do it. If you just – take the specs they give you and follow it to a T, you shouldn't have any issues. But, yeah, they print them, they bind them, and it's print on demand. So somebody orders my book on Amazon, I do nothing. They order it, CreateSpace sends it the next day, and that's it. There's nothing I have to do. Now, there are two different companies. There's a bunch of companies, but the biggest companies are CreateSpace and Ingram Sparks. I don't know if any of you go through Ingram Sparks. The biggest difference, and probably why I will switch over, is Ingram Sparks. They catalog you into a library, and Booksworth can order you. You cannot do that with CreateSpace. I'm sure CreateSpace will go down that route eventually, but Ingram Sparks, you can do that now. So say if somebody walked into Barnes & Noble and said, do you carry this book? Actually, you can do that through CreateSpace. Never mind, you can do. But if they want the store to actually carry your book in stores, it is cataloged through Ingram Sparks, and they can actually physically buy it from them and put 20 of your books in their store if they want to. And I have had friends who have their books nationwide in stores, and they're self-published, and it's through Ingram Sparks. So I know I mentioned that earlier, especially.
When I went with CreateSpace early on, and then for my later books, I went with Lightning Source,
okay.
And I thought I was going to have a problem with, I was having a problem with being inconsistent of quality with CreateSpace, because I do illustrations. I wanted to make sure that they were consistently good. So I switched to Lightning Source because they seemed to be better and the reviews about them were better. But I just got a batch of books that have big splotches on the covers and so on. I just don't know if there's a place you can depend on anymore.
Right. I do illustrate.
I have a feel for whether CreateSpace, they seemed a lot easier to work with and faster and so on, but
yeah.
I was worried about them to start with, and now.
Well, they've gotten better, I'll say that, because my first print book
okay.
is them. Now, I don't have illustrations in the book, but my cover is a drawing, and it's illustrated. And with the first print book I remember getting, of course, I was like so excited to hold my own book that I probably could have looked like total trash, and I don't know. It's definitely a far cry from what it looks like now. They've gotten better printers. They now do a flat cover, flat instead of a glossy, which doesn't personally look good with my books, but I've seen that other books look fantastic. So they've definitely gotten better. So I would try them again because they are much more customer. Because I've been trying to start working with Ingram Sparks, and I'm like, oh my gosh, like the specs and stuff they ask for are so ridiculous. But anyway.
So if I went back with CreateSpace, the quality would be better. But you said that they will have them. They can put them in the bookstores now. So
they can. No, they can. They have a thing called wide distribution. So people can, like my friends could walk into Barnes and Noble and Barnes and Noble could order it for them, but they can't put it in the stores because it's not cataloged.
Oh, right,
you have
right,
to go,
yeah. Well, and one thing I found with Barnes & Noble is people will go there and they do not have it on the shelves yet, but they will say, oh, we are currently out of that.
Right, and then they can order it for you. Right,
and then they order it. So, I mean, that is worth something to me to have people say, oh, we're out.
Right, right, yeah. They've done that.
Out of stock.
So, yeah, does anybody have any other questions, anything they want to add?
I'd love to find out about whether I'm barking up the wrong tree. I just don't have the nerve to ask friends to write reviews, and I think of myself as a total introvert, and so I can't do that. And so then I get Kirkus reviews that are very good, and they put it in their magazine. I guess you know, 30 of them are in there that they chose to do. And I thought, well, that's nice to have that free advertising, but it isn't doing me any good as far as I know. Maybe it takes time. But
yeah, it does take time. You know, if you're not willing to ask friends and family to leave reviews, it does take time. So really it's just a matter of social media is kind of your best friend in that one, is talking to people, you know, just letting them know, hey, a review, you know, or they send you a note saying they loved it. Say, hey, I'd love it if you leave a review. It's kind of a slow build. But the other thing that you really can do is those paid for read for review sites where you pay for them to find readers to read your book and then leave a review. You take a gamble.
That's what I did. I got Kirkus and also Clarion to do that. And then after that, they put it in their magazine that goes out to the trade, which was nice because that was free. But then we decided to pay for additional ads because they only covered one of the trilogy. So I put in the ads for the other two. I don't know if that was a stupid move or not.
No, Kirkus is great, but that's really just one review. What I'm talking about is the review sites where they find you 20, 25 readers that will leave a review. And that's what you want to do to get more. If you're not willing to ask people, then you just pay a company to find you. And the readers, their bonus, they get a free book out of it. But you are taking a risk, just like you were with Kirkus. You have no idea whether they're going to like it or not. You are taking a risk, but that is a way to get yourself reviews. And blog tours is another way to get reviews. Although sometimes in blog tours, the blogger will only put the review on their blog and they won't ever put it on Amazon. I don't know why. Some reviews, they've just stopped doing that, but that can be kind of frustrating. But yeah, that's a really good way to get yourself more reviewers if you're not, you know, really that's what all of us should be doing that. It's a good way to get new readers. And the more reviews you get on Amazon, the more they see you and the more they start pushing your book. And especially if they're good reviews, but that we can't control that. And if you start trying to control that, then that's when you get in trouble with Amazon. They don't like that. So, any other questions? I know it was supposed to be an hour. Is that right?
Yeah. So I think it's probably time that we wrap up. And Becky, again, I just want to say thank you so much. I know that I learned a lot, so I hope everybody else did. Thank you again, and thank you for everybody who joined on the call and who shared some of your input and asked questions. And I think it was a great call.
Susie, if you want, I'll send you my email address, and you're totally welcome to send it out. If anybody has any questions, I'm always available. I may not get back to you right away, but I usually respond to everybody. So if you have any questions that come up just for you personally or were afraid to ask on here, feel free to send me a question.
That's wonderful. Thank you, Becky. So we will.
I'm glad you say there's going to be a recording of this or a transcript.
Yes.
That's wonderful.
So we'll send out the recording and also a summary of what we talked about, and also we'll include Becky's email address and some other resources. So I'll be available for you, and that will be out at the beginning of next week. All right. Well, thank you everyone so much for joining on. I really appreciate it, and I hope you have a great rest of the day.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye.